Blog Talk Radio.
From their studio in the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's the Boomer and the Babe Show with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Join Pete and Deborah and their guests as they give voice to 78 million baby boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Now here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
And it is the Boomer and the Babe Show here on Blog Talk Radio, coming to you from Youngtown, Arizona, beautiful downtown Youngtown, Arizona. A city that's about 10 blocks by 10 blocks. Well, it's a little bit bigger than that, but not by much. And we're in the building that, as it says, from the Feeding Arizona building. Feeding Arizona is an aspect and a part of Valley View Community Food Bank. I mentioned that only because we're getting into the holiday season here very shortly, and Valley View Community Food Bank is a food bank that gives food absolutely free to those that need it. They do not ever charge for the food that they give away, unlike some other food banks. So if anybody would like to make a donation to Valley View, if you're within driving distance from Valley View Community Food Bank, which is in northwest Maricopa County, or northwest Phoenix, actually, in the valley, please come by with your donations. If you'd like to make a donation of cash, you can contact them via their website, which is valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com. It's a very good and worthwhile organization. They are just wonderful, wonderful people, and they do whatever they can to help as many people as they can in the valley. So when you're thinking of food banks and giving to people that are in need, think of Valley View Community Food Bank as well. We're going to get to our guests in a minute. We have three guests today. We'll be telling you a little bit about them, and they'll be telling you about themselves as well. But before we do that, I always like to remind people about the Boomer the Babe Incorporated and what we're involved in. In addition to the radio show, we also publish many books and e-books. And our ebook authors have their own shows on the Boomer and the Babe Network here on Blog Talk. We invite you to listen to those folks as well. We produce videos for your website, promotional products, consult for small businesses. We are truly a multifaceted, multimedia marketing company, and we would like to help you market whatever your products or services are. And I am Pete Peters, and Deborah Brown is not with us today. She is, as I speak, boarding an airplane, and she's on her way to the Global Women's Summit in Los Angeles, California. She'll be there for the better part of the week, the rest of the weekend, and into the weekend, and coming home to have the fun of our two granddaughters for the rest of the weekend when she gets back. So we're looking forward to having her back with the grandkids for the weekend. So beyond that, we're going to do a great show today. We got a couple of people on here that are just have some tremendous stuff that they do. It's all about baby boomers and finding their way back and circling back to happiness and success after they've retired or as they're getting ready to retire. And what they say is, circle back to your dreams. It's boomerangs is having to do with some of what they call themselves. It's Mickey and Jeff. And why don't you folks just jump right in, whichever wants to go first, and tell us a little bit about what it is that brought you to do what you're doing now. What is your history? Where do you hail from? So whoever wants to go first, please do so.
Jeff, you mind if I take that first?
Go for it, Mickey.
Hello, everyone. And, Pete, thank you so much for having Jeff and me on your program today. And, Cindy, we're glad that you're joining us as well. Pete, I am actually a Nebraska gal. I was born and raised pretty much in the Cornhusker state of Nebraska and moved out of Nebraska and into Kansas City, Missouri, where I worked for a number of different companies, most recently for a large corporation that many people happen to know of, and that would be Sprint Nextel. And when I worked for them was an executive leadership coach. So part of what we did in that capacity was work with people to help them understand how to integrate their leadership skills with who they are as people. And it was just a fabulous, fabulous job. And at one point, there were a number of us that were being offered the opportunity to leave early And so that really was the beginning of my dream, because I decided that I had had about all the fun I could stand with corporate life, and so submitted my paperwork to accept the early retirement and the buyout package. But the interesting thing that I realized, and we'll talk more about this later, is that I actually got very scared, as do many people. And so the day that it was due, I tried to rescind my paperwork, and you know what? It was too darn late. So I got shoved out of the nest, and it was an opportunity for me to start to, with my current husband, brand new husband, to start to create the dream that we had been, I think, leading our whole lives for. So that's our story. That's my story. I was working for a corporation when my dream landed in my lap, so to say. Jeff, what's yours?
And that brand new husband is me. I also was, Pete, working in leadership training and development, but at Nextel, and had been doing that for many, many years before the merger with Sprint, building training programs, delivering them, working on and developing entire curriculum for leadership development, and continued to do that when Sprint and Nextel merged. And the very first day that our two organizations met, Mickey and I met, and we consider ourselves the best part of the Nextel-Sprint merger. So,
you had again, a merger of your own.
Merger of our own, right.
That's right.
And Mickey talked to it that when there were lots of opportunities at the company, Sprint Nextel, to find early retirement, we did it. And we used our own experiences as the basis for the idea for this retirement program. We call it retirement program because that's really what most people know it as and know this transition in life as. But as we talk further today, we'll find that it's really not retirement in the old sense. There is very definitely a new retirement out there, and we think we've been experiencing it. So our entire background as coaches, as facilitators, as looking at and realizing good sources of information and putting it across to people, this is what we've been doing. So we're all set to have and do have this boomerang circle back to your dreams company rolling, and looking forward to telling you more about it.
Well, I'm looking more forward to hearing more about it also. I'll just say that we have had on our show any number of people, coaches, however you want to term the occupation, that have been involved in reinvention, transitioning, picking themselves up from a RIF, reduction in force, picking themselves up from the fact that their company has gone belly up and now they're out of a job and out of retirement and out of all kinds of things that they thought they were going to be building for, and they've had to move on to something else. Now, we've had all kinds of people that have been on telling us they should try this and they should try that, and this is what I helped them do. But I was really intrigued by your information that's on your website when I went in there, because it just seemed to make so much sense to me. I've not been in corporate America for years, and at this point, not only at my age but at my mindset, I am totally unemployable by anybody. People don't want me to work for them. I'll guarantee you that. And besides, I don't like the fact that I have to go up and take a paycheck and know that I really didn't do anything for it at 6 o'clock, because that's been a lot. What happens nowadays is people are just trying to get by with whatever they're getting by with, because there's really no future in corporate world, at least in my experience. So they just go in, they put in their time, they get out of there, they come home, and they go, oh, well, is this all there is? Is that the end of it? So it's nice to see that you folks are realizing some other things that are involved in reinvention, unretiring, whatever, partial retirement, whatever it is. So why don't we kind of get into it? on your website, it says that you help people determine what is their purpose and what they will do, and am I ready to retire? Some of us are not ready to retire. Can you kind of, let's start there, that I'm not ready to retire. I have been put into a retirement position from my corporate world, but I'm not really ready to retire. How does that start to manifest itself then?
Jeff, if you don't mind, I'll take that one. Pete, I would say that it actually depends on how someone is defining retirement. If we're looking at it from the old definition of I'm going to hang up my work boots and do nothing and get up in the morning with a cup of coffee and have nowhere to go, I think that it's true of the boomer generation that many of us aren't ready for that. Not only aren't ready, but may never be ready, don't want that, even if we were ready for it. And so it's really more about not so much am I ready, but am I clear about what it is that I would love to have my next phase of life be like. So when we define for ourselves what I want, then we can start getting enthused about how to go after that. We hear today that a lot of people are saying, gosh, I planned to quote-unquote retire, but my financial portfolio is different than I thought it was. Well, so that means to me then that we have an opportunity to create the life that we would love to live given the financial picture that we have. So if you need to continue working or if you want to continue working and are not, unquote, ready to retire, then let's do something that we would love to do. You alluded to it earlier, Pete, when people are working in corporations, sometimes they're just showing up and what we used to call quit and stay. So your body is there, but your mind sure isn't engaged. Rather than continue that till hell freezes over, why not find something that lights you up and that you can be passionate about when you get up in the morning and make some money doing? And then that's not retirement in the old, by the old definition.
Well, what we say out here in Sun City, Arizona, which is one of the original retirement, certainly the original Del Webb retirement community of its size, anywhere in the nation or the world for that matter, that this is not our father's or our grandfather's retirement anymore.
Right.
That does not exist. I mean, when I'm living in the same house that my parents lived in when they retired, quote unquote, and that was a few years, that was 30-some years ago, and I'm in that house now. And when my dad came out here, it was add on to the house, redecorate, knock out some walls, play golf, take a trip, come back, play golf, knock out some more walls. That's what he did. And that was his retirement. He never even thought another day of working and making money, but he kept himself busy. But he was retired, and I mean retired. I'm not retired by any stretch.
No, you're as engaged in life and work as you probably have ever been.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe even more so. And one thing, too, more passionate about the work that you do in right now versus what you may have done before. I don't know that, but it sure seems that way to me, the way we talk. And one other way that we kind of help people to determine if they're ready to retire is with some work that was done by a man named Richard Johnson, PhD, who did some research into what are sort of success factors for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we do in our coaching is to let people assess themselves in those retirement success factors. And they then, with our help, look at what those results are and kind of to help determine for themselves whether they're ready to retire or not, or what they want to do with their time after they stop their full-time job or what was their career profession.
Go ahead.
Oh,
well, I'm looking at the website information here, and I'm seeing that it says that you start with a self-inventory assessment based on 15 factors that research proves and fundamentals are the lifelong vitality crucial for your retirement dream to emerge, and then you have your assessment. Tell us a little bit more about that assessment, and I know we've got another guest on the line, and I don't know if this is the appropriate place. You're going to have to tell me to bring Cindy on board and go through some of that exercise. You indicate to me when you're ready to do that, and then we'll bring her on board. But why don't we?
Okay, I want to sit down, Cindy. We will get to you in just a little bit. She's biting her fingernails. First, I'd like to just describe a little bit about the success factors and then the assessment.
Right.
Because it's they're not what you'd expect. We're looking first off for people to think about when they stop, if they ever do stop their full-time work, career, profession type job, how do they reorient themselves to the new life? Was what Mickey was talking about before, about, well, what am I doing? Am I sitting around early in the morning just drinking coffee and reading the newspaper and waiting for something to happen? Or am I proactive and going out searching for, finding that particular passion that will drive me? People often talk about a bucket list. You know, I've got all these things to do and all these things I'd like to see before I pass on here. And that's great. We are all in favor of having a bucket list of things to do. The problem with that is that it's very often, it doesn't happen daily. It's not something that can sustain you and that you can be passionate about hour by hour by hour, day, week, month kind of thing. So that's what we're looking to help people do with that very first kind of success factor, is reorient themselves to a different perspective about life beyond work. I guess that's what it is. And then we work our way through all of the other factors that are in there, talking about each one. Mickey, you want to talk about the assessment?
Sure. The assessment itself has 15 factors, and the really cool thing about it is that it helps people see for themselves what their expectation is for retirement and contrast that with what their present behavior is. So if I say, for example, that in my quote-unquote retirement, I want to be free of worry about dependence, when I take the assessment and I see that in my present behavior, I have massive worry today about my dependence, I know that I've got some work to do. That's not bad or good. It's just neutral, and it gives me a point to start from, to know that if in my retirement years my expectation is to be free of that worry, then what action steps do I need to take, and what do I need to focus on to get myself to that point? So it really illuminates for anyone taking the assessment where to focus. Otherwise, it can be extremely overwhelming, and we live in this dream of how it's going to be, but when the day finally comes, we're not ready for it. So back to your original question, Pete, about am I ready to retire, that is part of that readiness factor. Have I done the work, and have I spent time thinking about more than my finances? We spend all kinds of effort putting our financial portfolio together, but then when the day comes, we realize, oh gosh, I forgot about life meaning. So the assessment really is broken down into 15 life areas that help people understand in with regard to relationships and our well-being and our own inner resources like spirituality and directiveness and creativity. Where am I today relative to where I want to be? So the assessment is data-driven, but it generates enormous insight and, in the working with a coach, a lot of support and enthusiasm to take action steps to help close those gaps.
Let me just ask a question before we go much further, because this, what you were saying just there, Mickey, just prompted something in my mind.
Okay.
And it's from personal experience. My parents, my mother, who's now 88 years old, they had this dream that they had of their retirement and what it would be. And it really did happen. I mean, he retired from Ford Motor Company in Detroit, Michigan at 55 years old. I mean, he did it. There's no doubt about it. You know, he was great. He was a great early retiree. I was worried about him, Mike, because he was a hard-driving executive. And I said, oh, man, this guy's going to have a heart attack, a stroke, because he's not going to be able to cope. But he took to retirement like a duck to water. And they traveled, and they did this, and they did that, and they had a great time. And then something happened, and the thing that happened was he contracted or came down with Alzheimer's disease and the dementia and the deterioration of his mind and the rest of his body and so on and so forth. And now it is not the retirement that they had hoped to live off into their very senior years. And he died 7 years ago. And my mother was at that point, she says, well, now I'm going to live my own life of retirement. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to get back into some of the things that I didn't do, like working for this food bank as an example that I mentioned early on, and all these other things and volunteer things that she did, and she was looking forward to it. Dad's gone. I served him well. I took care of him for 9 years, but now it's my turn, and she had a stroke 3 months later. She is not a happy camper in her retirement as it still exists today. She is not happy. I mean, she's mobile and whatever, and she's somewhat lucid. I mean, she's very, very forgetful anymore. But how do you help people through that kind of a situation? Can you help people through that kind of a situation?
Mickey, can I take a crack at that?
Sure, absolutely.
Sure. Pete, my father, too, has Alzheimer's and is in assisted living right now.
Right.
Real still aware of the fact that he's deteriorating and he's not able to play the tennis and travel and live the fantastic life that he had planned. He was a huge salesperson at Allstate Insurance and made a lot of money doing that and had some real dreams of just exactly what your father was about, you know, having a carefree kind of life. He's having some trouble adjusting to sort of the help that he needs now and the kind of embarrassment, or I was going to say humiliation, but I guess, and it can be that, of having people around him now that where he was such an independent person and to some degree stubborn about it, he's now having to rely on so many people to get along that he's had to give that up. He's had to give up that, and that's the hardest part, I think.
Right.
At the same time, there are still things that he can be a part of and still have some dreams fulfilled. It's difficult, highly limiting in terms of where he's able to go and how he gets to places now, but he's very much a foodie in the new language of it, and so is still able to get to restaurants and still enjoy taking advantage of the things that are offered to some degree in the Baltimore, Washington area. But what I think has helped him a great deal, and what we try to help people do, is find what the passion is, what the focus can be, and then regardless of the financial or even physical health circumstances, it's possible inside whatever those circumstances are to find a way to keep at it.
Right.
You know, to find just a moment in time or a quick excursion here or something that you can hang on to and keep focused regardless of the physical obstacles or the health obstacles, and still keep that in mind. It's greatly diminished, and there's no doubt about that. It's a sad circumstance, and people are frustrated in it, but still have that little bit of hope to continue on. And
May I add something else to that?
Absolutely.
I would say that we are very blessed in this age group that we are, more so than our parents, because we have resources that have sprung up that didn't exist when our parents were preparing for retirement. So part of what we can do as we look at the life area of health is help them anticipate that this may someday happen, and what resources can they proactively put into place and help them prepare for the possible eventuality of some diminished mobility or some diminished capacities, where when our parents were anticipating retirement, they did not have the resources that we have available to be able to tap into proactively.
Well, when the parents were getting ready to retire and then they were in their working days, it wasn't Alzheimer's then. It was hardening of the arteries.
Right, that's right.
I mean, that's
still the same disease, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, that's what it was. Oh, he's senile. He has hardening of the arteries. I mean, it's completely different now, totally different.
That's correct. That is the beauty of the era that we're living in, because there are massive amounts of resources, and it's this exploding industry to look at the issues of aging, and that certainly did not exist and had not evolved 10, 15, certainly 20 years ago. So we are sitting in a more giving society today, a more generous society, where resources are available and funding is somewhat available, and we have the capacity to anticipate and plan for, so that in the eventuality, we're not taken totally off guard and are not still in some state of denial about it.
Well, it's true, and I'm going to make this one statement, and then let's get back to the thrust of our topic. I didn't mean to take us off in a different direction. But when Social Security was instituted, it was only supposed to be payable at age 65, because that's all the longer people lived anyhow.
Correct.
65 years old. And now we've got this whole new aging thing that is thrown into the mix, and that's what's causing so many of the problems and with everything else. And Social Security was never designed as being a savings account. It was never designed.
And that's really the genesis of the work that we're up to, because we recognize
exactly.
that we will continue to live a lot longer and a lot with greater expectations of life fulfillment. It's not rolling up the carpet and saying, okay, my life is done at age 62, 65. For many, it's just the next chapter is really just beginning. And so that's what our work is about, to help tap into those passions and dreams that may never have been recognized or have been forgotten about because we were busy paying the mortgage and raising our children. And now it's our turn.
That's
There's
right.
a trend.
One of the things that we say on our show, and what we say on our close of our show, is that at 50, you're just getting started.
Correct.
Yeah, because that is the way it is nowadays.
There's two trends really going on, maybe even three simultaneously, that people are retiring a lot earlier. Do you have any idea what the average retirement age is?
I do not.
57.
Wow.
Yeah. And the other trend is that people are living longer. Average life expectancy is a good 20 to 25 years more now than it was at the turn of the 20th century. So we have those. And then now a third thing happening, too, is the fact that there's the economics of today are keeping people living in their own community, the housing that they've been in for a long while throughout their career, throughout the growth of their kids, and not moving to sunnier climes.
That's a recent trend. I mean, quite a recent trend.
Yeah, And in fact, there's an article. There was an article yesterday on AP. I'm sure it was in lots of different newspapers, but about this very thing that people are, from an economic point of view, saying, I would very much like to have moved to Sun City, Arizona, or Laguna Hills, California, or you know, the anywhere where it's warm and sunny, but can't now.
Right.
And we think that necessitates the work that we do even more. Mm-hmm. You know, that if you're going to stay in your community, and the dream that you may have had of being fulfilled in a warm, sunny place isn't an economic reality anymore, you got to do something else. You have to change or have a vision or a passion around what you need to do now in that place that you're going to continue to live.
Right. Well, it's interesting because every now and then I've got Yahoo on the front page of my computer, and every now and then, you know how they put up those stories and you read the stories and so on and so forth. The top 10 places to retire.
Right.
The top 10 places to retire, where cost of living is whatever. And I look at the list and I go, what? Minnesota? It's cold in Minnesota. You know, but the reality is there are some really nice places to live. If you can stand the snow and don't have to walk on the ice, you're cool. It's fine.
Literally.
Yes. Yeah, literally, exactly. So, I mean, it is changing. There's no doubt about it. And there's all kinds of big companies, corporations that are putting together little small communities. I mean, enough for like 150 or 200 couples to sit in to be in a small community with condo type things. A couple of small single family dwelling homes. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's they're popping up in areas that you never would have thought of retiring before because it's economical. And it's economically feasible. Let's get back on track a little bit more here. We want to get into this assessment, and I know you've got Cindy sitting there with bated breath and probably no more fingernails left anymore. So why don't you guys just kind of introduce Cindy if you want to at this point, and let's kind of just work through this little assessment thing that you do and how you do it.
Fantastic. Everyone, please meet Cindy Swall. Cindy is a client and a colleague and a friend of ours who has attended our workshop and who has been through a good bit of the process with us. And we would like to lead her through an activity today. So everyone that might be listening, at this point, we would like to ask you to get a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen. And I know you don't typically think of doing that when you're listening to a radio show, so take a minute to go grab that, because this is something that the listening audience can also participate in. And it's an easy and fun and, we hope, enlightening way for people to quickly, or maybe not so quickly, however much time you want to spend with it, understand who you are and what you're good at, and what you might be able to create for yourself as a dream or a passion that you had never thought of before. So very often when we think of, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Well, that's a pretty daunting question to ask yourself. Where do I start with that one? So we've devised a very simple way of starting that process. So we'd like everyone to please become acquainted with Cindy Swall. And Cindy, this is the listening audience. We're making introductions. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
We're
Hi,
great.
Cindy.
Thanks so much for joining us. So Cindy and everyone listening, we would love if you would please get out your piece of paper and a pen, and we're going to ask you to do something very simple. If you would please just make four columns and draw lines between the columns. And at the top of the far left column, if you would please write the words instinctive traits. just a little definition about an instinctive trait. That's something that you are inherently good at, or something that is inherently good about you. So, for example, Jeff is somebody who never gets lost. You can be anywhere in any strange city with him, and he's got this internal compass, so he never gets lost. That would be an instinctive trait. So in that column, write down instinctive traits that you have either been told that are positive characteristics of yours or that you just know about for yourself.
Another way of saying that might be sense of direction.
Okay.
So it's...
Good. So an instinctive trait for Jeff is sense of direction. So, Cindy, if you would please write down up to 5 instinctive traits for yourself.
I'm on it.
And then in the column next to that, if you would please, write the header skills. And these are things that might come a little bit more easily to us because we're so ingrained in our professional life, right? So we might automatically go to professional skills. So in the work that Jeff and I left, one of our skills was facilitation. Another skill we might have is cooking. So, Cindy, if you would please write down about up to 5 skills.
And these are just things you put on a resume, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Or maybe not necessarily a professional resume, but just things that you know you're good at.
For instance, I do a lot of sailing. I don't
right.
put that on my corporate resume.
Right, but I think in the distinction between the instinctive traits and the skills, because they're both things that you're good at, the instinctive traits are things that are just who I am, whereas the skills are things I've learned, so things that I'm skilled at doing.
Great distinction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that's great. In the column next to that, write curiosities. So these are things that you have been curious about. You may have done a little exploration, maybe you didn't. So, for example, I have huge curiosity about travel. I love to travel. I love to learn about other places and experience other cultures. So that's a curiosity for me. I've done a little. I haven't done as much as I'd like.
One for me would be writing for a newspaper. I'm very curious about it. Think I write pretty well and would like to give that a try.
But have never done it, right?
Nope, I've never done it.
Never done it.
I might be able to help you with that one, Jeff.
Oh, good. Thanks, Pete.
See, this is how this magic works.
Yeah.
So, Cindy, if you would please write down about 5 things that you're curious about. And then the 4th column, we would like for you to entitle that Liked and Tried. So that could be, for example, something I've liked and tried is I've traveled some. So that was in my curiosities, and it's also something that I've tried and liked.
I liked and tried the theater a little bit. I was an actor and director some, and that could again do that. I also, at one point, tried playing drums. I could do better at it, I'm sure, now.
So, Cindy, how are you doing?
I'm with you. I've got
okay.
that part done.
Fabulous. Okay. So that was step 1. We've made 4 lists: instinctive traits, skills, curiosities, and tried and liked. Step 2, what we'd like you to do is, just for the purposes of today's radio show, take at least 1 of your instinctive traits and now look at your other 3 columns and what items in those other three columns has some loose connection to an instinctive trait. So, for example, Jeff mentioned earlier that one of his instinctive traits is a sense of direction. So if one of his curiosities is travel and one of his skills is sailing, gosh, out of that then you could make a connection that would say he might be somebody that would enjoy taking other people on some sailing excursion. So that's an example of how you could make a connection. So look at one of your traits, Cindy, and extract from the other three columns some items that might connect to that instinctive trait.
Got it.
Is that clear?
It is. I guess what you're asking me to do then is when I look at this instinctive trait, I'm going to look at some of these other columns and say, okay, what in these other columns might be supported by this trait, right?
Perfect.
Okay.
Or coupled with it, you know, how might they seem to just fit together?
They complement one another. Okay, I'm with you.
Complement, good word, yeah.
You could probably make a case for any of them, but some stand out more than others for sure.
Would you mind sharing some connections that you're seeing?
Sure. And this is something, too, that I can certainly anticipate spending a little bit of time on, you know, to really kind of dig deep and do this some justice, because I'm starting to see several different patterns. But just for sake of example, I guess, one that jumps out is one instinctive trait that I have that people have told me or kind of looked to me to help translate complex concepts, meaning particularly in the corporate arena or in other arenas where people get kind of caught up in the verbiage of things. I do have a capacity to be able to still that down to something people can understand and use. So I guess that translation of complex concepts brought me over to the other columns. I started looking at some of my skills. One of my skills was connecting people. I'm good at bringing people to the right resources or to partnerships, things like that. So which took me to the next column of curiosities, which one of them was travel, and one of them was women's issues. So I actually found a couple of them in there that might tie together. And something that I've done that I really enjoyed, there are a couple of things came out of that. One of them was holding workshops, and the other one was planning parties. I like to do that, too. So I thought, you know, if I really look at that all the way across the columns, if I take the ability to be able to communicate a message and to help people apply learning, and I'm bringing people together, and I'm trying this in different places, I saw the opportunity to conduct, like, women's retreats, like Cape Cod, where I bring a group of women together and I connect them with one another and I hold these workshops that help them, you know, improve their life in some way. So that seemed like something that might be fun to try based on this information.
Is that something that you had ever thought about before, doing this little activity?
Well, I talked about, you know, I've historically talked about doing some more coaching work with women, but the idea of the retreats had not come to me. And I thought, you know, as much as I love to travel, and you know, just, I don't know, I just, no, I hadn't really thought of it in that way. I thought about coaching women, but I hadn't thought, wow, let's, you know, bring them all together in one location and incorporate all these things I really value and love into one thing. So it's kind of nice to be able to think that you don't have to just do one thing and then do the next thing, that you can kind of combine some of those things and really make it, like you were talking about, create purposeful, you know, meaning, a reason to get up in the morning. I love that.
One thing about this is you don't have to stop there. You can continue just playing around, you know, trying not necessarily forcing it, but just even playfully putting different characteristics, different skills with different trides and likes, and just see where they go. Maybe they'll go nowhere, or maybe it'll spark something that you just never thought of before. So that's the sort of the fun of the exercise, you know. Discover things that you never thought about before or had a vague idea.
Excuse me for a minute. On a serious note, and I'm serious when I say this, Cindy, if you're interested in those types of things, you need to get hold of my other half, Deborah Brown, and you can get hold of her at host@boomerandthebabe.com. She's involved in Women's Information Network, And as I mentioned earlier on the show, she's over in Los Angeles right now for Global Women's Summit. These are women that are going to be traveling around talking about women's issues and about business and entrepreneurism all over the world. And there are vacancies and people that are involved and interested in doing that type of thing. And she can send you in the right direction.
Perfect.
Oh, I have to tell you all, I have goosebumps right now because this is exactly the work that we do. This is so perfect, Pete, because out of the little activity that Cindy just did with us came this new idea and then the connection into the resource to make that dream come true. This is the perfect example of how, without ever seeing the possibility for ourselves, it just comes to us. And it brings me to my knees with excitement and humility both to know that we really can live the life that lights us up just by doing some work and reaching out to other people.
And
I think
one
of the things, too, that I think the work that you do, it really kind of brings us to the point that we can get some clarity around it because we all have ideas of what we think we'd like to try. But until you go through an activity like this or take your full assessment, it's not until then that you have the awareness to be able to go, okay, I know what to call this now. Because if you can't label it, you can't make it happen. So this is really useful.
That's a very good point.
We're trying to get and help people get really conscious of those things that are sort of lurking back there, hence circle back. You know, you may have even thought about this when you were a kid. You know, things that were sort of dreams that you had, and then life kind of got in the way. You know, you got into your college and into your career and specialized. Now you can find those things again. That's what
the other thing that happens is that we live in our heads so often and dare not share our dreams with other people because we think they're too lofty or we haven't thought them through. We shouldn't talk about our dreams until we actually have the plan. And so they never leave our head. And when we enlist the support of a coach and really start to speak our dreams and put some language to it and then get support and get someone to help us connect with the right resources, and then hold us accountable for the one step that we said we would take, that's how our life begins to evolve and unfold into something that we would not have seen possible on our own. So it lights us up.
A lot of people don't even mention what their dreams and what their aspirations are to other people because they're afraid that people will judge them.
That's right.
And they're going to say, though, oh, you're too old to do that. My gosh,
that's
starting
right.
All over again? I mean, that's just ridiculous by my stretch of imagination. But, I mean, that's really what happens, though, isn't it?
Truly it is. And the exercise and also, Pete, you kind of led us into the third step of this exercise, which is to talk to other people about it. You know, provide a forum where once people start doing the exercise that Cindy just did, they can talk about it. And then what happens is people know someone who tried that, and they can give them, like you just provided for Cindy, a resource, you know, to go to and find out more or get involved in some way or, you know, alter it in some way. But that would be the next step to talk about it and but in a place where it's safe and not judging. You know, all the other people have been doing the same thing, and therefore you'll know that it's okay to do because everyone else is going to get into the same, the same opportunity. No judging.
Right.
I would also like to add to that, Pete, your comment about oftentimes we don't share our dreams with people. They'll think that we're silly. That can happen within couples very often, or at least sometimes couples don't share with each other what their dreams might be. And so at the point then that they are ready to retire, one person in the couple has one notion and another person in the couple has an entirely different notion. So you can imagine the joy they have in trying to work that out on their own. So part of the work that Jeff and I do is bringing couples into alignment. And they can't each have their own dreams, but then we can also find those common denominators and find the alignment possibilities so that they can work on some things together and then they can have their own separate dreams. But it can be pretty ugly if one person thinks they're going to move to Alaska and the other person thinks they want to move to the Fuji Islands. You know, that's a pretty big darn deal. Or
well,
one person thinks they...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's not a problem. I was going to say not only that, but, I mean, the husband, assuming that the man of the household has been the breadwinner for all these years, because that has been the way it has been in the past. It's not necessarily the way it is now, obviously. But the husband comes home, he's retired, he sits around, he does whatever, and he starts telling the wife what to do with the housework. and the wife says, "What the hell are you doing? I've been doing this for 37 years, and you've never taken an interest in it now because you're not the boss anymore. You're not the boss in this house." And then this leads, get out of my life. Go do something. Find something to do. Take up golf. Go fishing. Anything. Just leave me alone 8 hours a day. before you know it, that is just going crazy with those people.
That's right. That's absolutely the other side of it. And then we can bump into what research has told us is called the paradox of leisure. So saying to their partner, go take up a sport, go golf, go fish. So then that becomes their retirement dream. Well, what we know now about the paradox of leisure is that anything that you are doing that is to be a diversion from your daily routine is leisure. But if your leisure becomes your daily routine, it's no longer a break from your routine. It is your routine. And so it really is, it's not meaningful, it's not fulfilling, and it's no longer relaxing because it's absolutely been the job replacement.
Well, you know, this is amazing because I made those same four columns that you had Cindy make, and I was looking at this thing and I'm saying, well, you know, I guess what I'm doing is really what I want to do. It's really, you know, I've always thought to myself as somewhat of a communicator instinctively. I've got some skills. I probably know how to interview some people. I know how to take care of various topics, and I disseminate information. We are information disseminators as our skills, and the curiosity is what makes people tick. And how do people react in certain different circumstances, and what is it about the human condition that it can be affected by disease or by travel or by any of these other things? And then the last thing is, what have I liked and tried? And I went, I like and tried the radio. I've been a publisher. I'm a writer. I do audio-video work. I think I'm here. And the nice thing about it is I don't do it 24 hours a day.
That's fabulous.
And there's still time for golf, right?
Yeah, I still have time to go play golf, which is number two as far as skills that I've learned. So,
and if you were to really spend, if you were to be able to spend even more time with that activity, you might possibly find connections that are new for you. You don't know.
Sure.
But what it sounds like happened is that it's validating for what you're doing because that's the obvious. And then if you were to dig even deeper, you might find less obvious connections.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Get in there and play with it. You know, see what might work and what doesn't. You know, it will reveal more than just what you're already doing.
Right.
Cindy, did you find, if you look at other instinctive traits, do you find that there are some other connections and alignments that surface that aren't so obvious for you?
Yeah, actually, they were. It's when I started looking at things like, an instinctive trait maybe would be highly creative. So people look to me to be the idea generator. So I think as you start looking at other skills along there too, some other things that even came up for me as a curiosity were things like healthy cooking. And as that ties to like my party planning and some other things, I thought, shoot, maybe there's a caterer in me somewhere. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of things that could come from that. So I started identifying all kinds of interesting trends that certainly never – I didn't think appealed to me as a career, but might appeal to me as an activity. You know what I mean? So I think that this isn't just about what we do for a living. This is about where might I play other than golf, you know, as I move into this next phase of my life. So I'm going to spend a lot more time with this. I'm going to play
Cindy,
with it a little bit longer.
Generate opportunities, options.
Cindy, let me interject something, if you don't mind. Don't be a caterer. It's a tough job. I had that business. But if you like to cook, go ahead and cook and enjoy yourself. But when you start When you start doing weddings, it's not something that's fun.
Yeah, that's not real. I'm not too terribly serious about that. But I thought, wow, that would still be kind of fun, though, to do, like, theme parties for kids. One of the things I'm
sure.
really good at is connect
Absolutely.
With teens. And so it might be kind of fun to do something, even a fundraiser or something as a side activity. So, I don't know, something to think about.
Well,
part
yeah,
of that's, absolutely. That's a very fun connection.
Part of what the exercise does in a real playful way is connect you to things that are of good value for you, you know, the important value-driven things that you do. And when you start taking off from there and coupling it with all the skills and the curiosities, you find some meaning to an activity. There's some significance behind it rather than just spending time, leisure time. You know, and that's really the idea behind what we're doing. We're trying to help people find things that are of meaning and significance to do, and because it's a natural state as you transition into older age, people are looking to find that for themselves. You know, to find some meaning and significance, and then have something to do with it. We are human beings, not human doers, though.
Well, there are so many things that we have touched on and so many things that we have left untouched, I think, in this hour that we've spent together. We're going to have to do this again. I think that's the only solution here.
Oh, we're fine
I
with that.
I think that sounds like a fine plan.
But it's been fun, although I know I've led you astray in our conversation from some of the things that you'd indicated that you'd like to speak on, and I apologize for that. But I think we had some pretty good talk here about various things. And Cindy, I'd like to thank you for giving your information and being a willing suspect, I guess. That's one way to put it.
Cindy's always a willing suspect.
Yes,
she
thank
is.
You so much, Cindy.
Well, is there anything else?
Thank you very much. We have so enjoyed being on the radio with you and have just really just enjoyed this whole experience. Thank you so much.
Well, you're certainly welcome. I'm very welcome, and I'm glad that you responded to my query about people that are interested in being on the show, because I think you have a lot to offer to folks. How can people contact you if they have any more questions about things like that we didn't touch on, like how do you work with couples, and what is the significance of early retirement, and how do you make those transitions? That's all stuff that went unsaid today. How can people get hold of you?
Mickey?
Through our website, and that website is www.boomerangsretirementcoach.com.
All one word?
Yes. And our number to contact us is 816-651-5900.
Well, thank you very much. And Cindy, are you still on the line?
I am.
I'm very serious when I say this. If you're interested in some of those things that you were talking about, please get hold of Deborah. And if she doesn't have the answers, which she generally has the answers to everything, at least she prides herself in telling me that she does.
Her instinctive trait.
There you go. But if you're interested in women's issues and working with women and doing seminars and things like that, she might be able to hook you up with the right people that are involved in doing that with the WIN, both locally, maybe in your area, other areas of this country, or possibly even some areas worldwide. So if that's of an interest, please get hold of Deborah at host@boomerthebabe.com, and she'll be
Absolutely
able to.
Absolutely will. Thank you.
And Pete, I'll call you about the newspaper.
Yes, please do that. Matter of fact, I'll give you a call as soon as we're off. Which of these numbers was yours? The last four numbers?
Last four, 8414.
8414. Okay, yeah. I'll give you a call there as soon as we're off the line. I'll tell you what I was thinking about there.
Okay.
But I'd like to thank everybody for participating today. It's been an absolute joy. I'm going to go prepare for a Halloween party tomorrow. I'm doing the tri-tip cooking. Days from my catering days, they have resurrected my knife and fork. So I'm going to go cook some tri-tip for this fundraiser for the food bank tomorrow night, and we're going to have fun doing that. But thank you everybody for being on the show today. This is the last show of this week for the Boomer the Babe. We're going to get into preparing for two little granddaughters, so I got to get a good night's rest tomorrow night because they're going to tire me out. They always do. Thanks again, everybody. Take care, and we'll be talking to everybody again real soon.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Boomer the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio, where we bring good conversation to the world. Today we brought you some excellent conversation about circling back and finding your passion and your dream when you're ready to retire, or maybe not ready to retire is a better way of putting it. So please contact the good people over at Boomerang, and they'll be able to help you find your passion and help you be able to, help you find your ideas as far as what you want to do for the second half of your life. Listen to the Boomer the Babe Show every Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember that we do much more than host a show. We check out all the things that we do on BoomerTheBabe.com, see everything that makes up the Boomer the Babe Incorporated. Be sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life. And this will be our last show for this week, and we'll be back again next week with a whole bunch of really great guests and some really great shows. Hope to see you then. To the Boomer the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversations to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as PeteFeeders47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at BoomerAndTheBabe.com. Email us at host@BoomerTheBabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.